It's kind of, you know, it's kind of an early example of Jackie Chan movies. And,
you know, maybe it's a B movie or a B plus. I don't know. I like it, actually. But the plot kind of goes like this. This is a picture of heroes and Disney shows. It starts when there's a bunch of commandos that, of course, includes Jackie, kidnap three scientists who are studying a very powerful meteorite fragment, fragments of meteorite. The mission was a success, as usual in these movies. But at the last moment, on the helicopter on the way home, the commander of this mission double-crosses Jackie, and the helicopter explodes, and Jackie falls out of the helicopter, and of course it lands on his head, and he lands in the midst of a South African group of Indians, and you know, he doesn't speak their language, they don't speak his language. Although maybe Cantonese is similar to South African. I don't know. My Cantonese was really bad. So while he was there, they're wondering, you know, who is this guy that fell out of the sky? And he's wondering who he is because as he landed on his head, of course he lost his memory and he loses, you know, who he is. So he cried out at one of the early piece of the movie, he cries out, "Who am I?" And so all these Indians think that his name is, "Who am I?" And they start calling him this. But then as the movie goes on, he starts to remember different pieces of who he was. And he starts to decide to leave the Indian tribe in search of his identity. But this movie, Mushushe, Who Am I, kind of brought to my mind the question of identity. Who are we? And how do we define ourselves? When we read Psalm 139, we kind of get a picture of who we are, but we get a greater picture of who God is. And really, I almost can't do justice this incredible piece of scripture, Psalm 139. So, just pick out. Can you hear me? Maybe I can lean more into it. So, as I'm picking out things about who we are, think also on who God is, because that is kind of these two pictures going in the text. So, how do we define ourselves, brothers and sisters? How do we define ourselves? Do we define ourselves by intelligence? You know, I have a 3.0, I have a 4.0, not really. I have a PhD, no, not really. In Europe, everybody goes by their degrees. So in other words, you're not just Ian Ma, for example. You would be Reverend Ian Ma, M.D. I don't know if you're VA or VS, or it's VS. So is it intelligence that defines it? Or is it looks that define us? You know, how we look, how we appear to people. That's kind of why we have the Miss America contest every year, or Miss Universe, Miss World, you know, trying to find who is the prettiest, or, they even now have online in the web, they have who is the hottest or fattest, and that's PH18. Not, you know, like chubby or anything. Or for a guy, maybe it's schwai or good looking. You know, who's the most schwai or good looking? But it seems that if we're defined by our intelligence or our looks or even our strength, guys like to be known by their strength, you know, so you see all these football players who can bench press, you know, some million pounds or something and stuff like that. But it seems that if we're defined by our intelligence or our looks or our strength, all of that
can be taken away from us in a moment. If it's a car accident, it may damage our brains more, our face, or zap our strength. An illness can do the same thing. We need criteria, or we need some things that we can define ourselves by that are unchanging. And in the sense this morning, I see at least two criteria, but maybe more, that define who we are. So I'm going to look at two of these criteria. Criteria one, who knows you? Criteria one, who knows you? Psalm 139, verse 1 to 12. We're going to look at who knows you. People like to drop names, and we do it all the time, don't we? I remember when I was going to church in Chicago when I lived there, and I saw Mr. T coming the other way. Everybody here, remember Mr. T? Yeah. You know, and I was really excited, and of course I told everybody I saw Mr. T, and they said, so, big deal. You know, I don't really know Mr. T. What's really impressive, though, is not who we know, but who knows us. Who knows us? It's kind of more impressive to be someone's famous that knows us and says, oh yeah, I'm talking with that person. See, a believer in Jesus Christ, a child born again of the Almighty God, really has a very strong suit here in who knows us. There are two ways that God knows us. We're going to look at both of these ways. The first is how we are known. Look at, with me at verse 1 to 6. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know completely, O Lord. You hand me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain to. When I think about these opening verses, we think about the mightiness and the greatness of our God. We think about how that defines us. Isn't it amazing, brothers and sisters, that the God of the universe, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the stars, everything that we see or know, he reaches out to us so our identity is wrapped up in who he is and how he knows us. What comes to mind when you think of being searched, or when you think of searches? What comes to mind? Please raise your hand and tell me what comes to mind when you think of searches. Searches. You know, being searched. But, Gabriel?
Dogpile.com.
What was that?
Dogpile.com.
Dogpile.com. Okay, that is a search. Now, what about the search of you? Searches for you. What comes to mind? Anybody else? Please. Almost like she is a plant. But that's kind of what I've been thinking about. And amazingly, she got the same thing. I guess we married, I guess, 21 years ago. So what comes to your mind when you think about a police stopping you and searching you? Is it a pleasant experience? No, it's not a pleasant experience. When a police stops you, let's say you're speeding. Nobody here would ever do that, but let's say you're speeding on the road and the cop pulls you over and wants to search your car. What is he looking for when he's searching? He's looking for contraband, right? He's looking for something that you have hidden in the car, and probably he will make you walk a straight line. I'm always waiting for a cop to pull me over to do that. Well,
when God is searching us, when the Almighty, there's two searches here. There's the search in the beginning and search in the end. The search in the beginning that deals with, I believe, deals with God searching us, looking not for external characteristics or a hidden contraband or even internal body parts. God searches our soul and our mind, our heart, and when he sees there, tells us everything they need to know about us. See, he searches and knows us like a mother who knows the cry of her children, or like owners of a dog who knows the bark of their dog, or like your friends who share a private joke, you know, the only thing they two get, or like he knows us so well, loves us so deeply. See, God knows everything about us. So when he searches us, he knows us, and he's known us intimately. So David is kind of opening his life and saying to him in the beginning, God, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I rise, when I sit, when I fall. When there's a word on my mouth, even before the word comes out, you know it. That's the intimacy that all of us long for. Amen? And really, that type of intimacy is never really going to be quenched by the right person. I hate to tell you this. You know, it's not going to be quenched by a husband or a wife, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or even a cute dog. It will really not quench that deep desire that we have within us to be known, because it can only be quenched by he who knows us perfectly. It can only be quenched by God himself. It's an attribute of God alone. God is omniscient. God is omniscient. He knows everything. That's a quality of God himself. Well, we must think our search of matter, God knows us fully. And he knows us completely and loves us thoroughly. You see, when you're sitting alone at night, and whether you're married or not, you all fall asleep by yourself, and you're left with your own thoughts. And only God can be there in the quiet of your heart, in the quiet of your mind, who really knows you. Because it's only God that really knows us that intimately. My wife knows me pretty well after 21 years of marriage, but she does not know me as well as God knows me. And I know my wife pretty well, but I don't know her as God knows her. It's only up to the omniscient God who knows everything about us. So the first attribute or criteria that we use to measure ourselves is who knows it and how we are known. If we're known intimately by God, then it's going to settle our hearts down. It's going to settle our life down. You see, we're known and loved deeply, and we're not going to be questioning the decisions that we make. I'll get to that a little bit later. But it's not only how we're known, but where are you in known? Where are you in known? Only a few people are known worldwide. Think of some of the people that are known worldwide. And raise your hand and share it out. Who are some of the people that are known worldwide? Jackie Chan. Michael Phelps. Who else? Bill Gates. Who else?
Coca-Cola.
Well, it's our person, though. It's a drink. Jesus. I think Jesus is known worldwide. When we think about people in the world, worldwide, or thinking about something very down to earth, I'm thinking about NBA stars. They are known worldwide. Yeah, Yao Ming. Or Michael Jordan. I remember when I was in the Philippines in the 80s, and I was playing basketball with a
group of who we know who really played basketball very well, and they did in their sandals, which was amazing. They could out-jump me and almost dump, stuff like that. But back in the 80s, you know what they really knew? You guys probably didn't know this guy. Julius Erving, Dr. J. He was the most popular person worldwide. He was like the Michael Jordan of today. But it's really only people of that magnitude. Maybe the president of the United States, and he is known, he is not loved worldwide. He's been at confidence, but he is definitely known worldwide. But what about us? Look with me at turn your Bibles to Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12, and read again these incredible words. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. When I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me. Even the darkness will not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is at light to you. Now there we find the next great thing about God. God is not only omniscient, but God is omnipresent. Omnipresence is an attribute of God alone. It's the quality of being present in all places at all times. He is not bound by time or space. Right? If you go up to the heavens, he's there. You're sitting on 747 and flying. God's there with you, flying above the clouds. And if you're buried under the ground in a coffin, he is there also. God is there with you. If I rise in the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. David thinks that God actively interacts with him, leading and protecting him in all places. God is like a loving father who is holding our hand. You know, I guess I wanted to speak to the young adults. Because it's kind of an experience that I used to be a young adult and years ago, and I was thinking about this, but you're probably going to move a lot while you're a young adult. And it's just a common thing of life. I remember when I was a young adult, even a young married, I moved 12 times in my first 15 years of marriage. You know, it was actually a good thing. You didn't accumulate knickknacks. You threw them out. You thought, do I really want to move this thing now? Throw it out. I remember when I moved to Illinois to begin our seminary training in 1989. And we were met in Vernon Hills the first night that our truck pulled up in Vernon Hills, and we had to unload the truck. A couple who were from Taiwan met us, and they missed for a hot steaming plate of dumplings. Well, not right there. You know, after we unloaded the truck, went upstairs, and they made great steaming dumplings. And this couple, Joseph, I forgot his wife's name, but Joseph Tway, he wore the thick glasses, but he's really an intelligent guy. Joseph introduced us to the first church that we went to, and they became our supporters and our friends for these past 20 years. So God knew ahead of time that Joseph was going to be there to greet us, because God was there. He's omnipresent. And he knew Joseph, he's omniscient. He knew that. And he knows me. And he knew the path that we were going to take, that God was calling us to be missionaries. We weren't 100% sure that it was going to be Chinese people at that time, but Joseph introduced us to a Chinese church and that kind of snowballed the effect. God kind of knew us there. God knew us when we went to Taichung, Taiwan. How many here have been to Taichung, Taiwan?
it's a wonderful city. Yeah, the typhoons are here, so it's great. You know, it's hot as blades in desert. We used to come home from church on Sunday afternoon with all the shades down, all the blinds down, because it was so hot outside. And then you just strip down to your underwear. And just hope that you get cool. Didn't happen. But where can I go from your presence? I can't go anywhere from God's presence. When I was in Taichung, Taiwan, the first person to took us to church that day, Irene, she picked us up. And Irene worked for the same bank that I used to work for before I left it and was to become a missionary. Manufacturers made over twice. She was in the diary branch. And we have instant connection. And we became good friends with Irene. And we helped Irene decide to keep her baby when she was facing, you know, a pregnancy that she wasn't expecting. She had to decide whether she would keep her baby or avoid it. She started to keep it. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your presence? We can't go anywhere. God was there in Taichung, Taiwan, and he brought Irene there. And we became good friends with her. And we're friends with the whole family. We can't go anywhere from God's presence. So whether we're alone or adults at night, or in the middle of a crowded party, like last night's party to welcome Pastor Jeff and Nate, which I'm so excited they're here. And I'm so excited they're here. Whether we're there, or we're in Hong Kong, or Taipei, Paris, or London, we're selected to visit someday. God knows us, and he loves us, and he accepts us. So we're defined by how we're known, we're defined by where we're known. See, if you know Jesus Christ, if you know God Almighty, if you've been born again, if you have that life within you that only God can give and you're his child, then you have the identity of his child, and he's with you all the time, everywhere you go, every night that you go to bed. Will never leave you nor forsake you. The greatest thing about being a Christian is God is with us. When John Wesley, the guy from the Methodist Church, when he was dying and ready to pass on, his mourners were around his bed and they were crying. But he cried out to them. The last thing he said before he went to a coma was the greatest thing of all is that God is with us. And that really is the greatest thing of all, is God's with us. Is that your identity this morning? Is that part of your life? But we need a second criteria, and I'll move on to the second point. Who made you? Read along with me in Psalm 139, we're going to look at verse 13 and 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in you, but one of them came to be. See, God shapes us from the inside out. He was there when the cells were formed, when they were multiplying, and a large part of our personality was formed. God was there before we were growing up, and the rest of our personality came to be. God decreed the days for us. And he formed our personalities. God loves us. God is there. He's our creator. This must challenge all of the false concepts we have or being fed that our looks, even our personality, you know, whether we're outgoing or happy or fun or would look great, is who we are. You know, when I think about myself,
for years, I wanted to be like my brother-in-law, Kevin. Now, that's hard to believe that we very much to be like your brother-in-law. But I wanted to be like Kevin. See, Kevin was calm, cool, and collected. Nothing ever wrong with him. I was the opposite. And I am the opposite. You know, everything bothers me. I'm kind of herky-jerky, something like that. And then I became a missionary, and I wanted to be like Paul Mahew. He was my hero. He's still a little bit of my hero. He went through four churches in Macau, and he's loved by everyone in Macau. He's like a hero there. And then when I was in Macau, I started to limp. My words started to slur. And really, everything about me became a little more fuzzy. I'm a little fuzzy today. I fought with God and became depressed. And finally, I sought Christian counseling. And they kind of helped me think, well, what is it that I really want to be that I cannot be anymore? Who was it or who am I that I can't be anymore that I have MS? Well, I thought for a long while, who I really want to be is I want to be brave, like William Wallace. I wanted to be noble, like Braveheart. I wanted to love well and be loved by others. Just an aside here, that because we are created by God, because He's with us always, we do not have to be afraid to attempt great things for God. Don't think small dreams for your life, men and women. If there's one last thing I could say to you, is dream big dreams for how God can use you in this world. Don't think small things for your life, like where's my career, or, you know, I want a career, a nice house, and a friendly dog, and 2.5 kids, or something like that. Those are good things, but they're small. We belong to a big God, a God who is great, and a God who wants to use each one of us in a great way to reflect His glory, whether we're at work, in our jobs, or whether He calls us to work for Him full time. He wants to use us for great things. Don't really dream small dreams, because our God is omniscient, He's omnipresent, and He's omnipotent. He has all power. Big dreams of God, then stand out and watch Him make His dreams come true. We are created in ordinary people to be like God, and when we receive the new life that Jesus gives us, we now have the strength and the courage to be all that Jesus was. Not God, you know, not a God like Him, but like Jesus was in His character, His peace, His love, His courage, His strength. That's who we're all about. That's who we are. You see, if we had those characteristics, churches across America would be filled. Who doesn't want to be like that? Loving, caring, merciful, kind. Be like Jesus. That's what Jesus wants us to be like. That's what He's doing in our life. So now I just have two last applications and then I'm done. And it's a very short message. So we can go home early and watch the Jets treatment. Two quick applications is to be real and trust that God is happy with who He's made in you. Don't try to be someone else that you couldn't relate to be. God is smiling down on you today. If you know Him, it will make a world of difference in your life from now forever. You're well known, deeply known, loved here and everywhere. Dare to care. Dare to touch someone like Pastor Jeffries today. If we're loved so greatly, the one who loves us is God omnipotent,
and on the present. If he loves us, then it behooves us to go out and touch our neighbors, to be care our, to care for them, to care for the church. And then secondly, learn what pleases God, your Heavenly Father, and do that without fail. Learn what pleases God, your Heavenly Father, and do without fail. There are many, many things that's in God's Word that will teach us, you know, what God, what pleases God, our Heavenly Father. I can't do them all today because I'm, you know, closing soon. We'd be here all day if I went over there. So I'll share one for you, Micah 6:8. I assure you, old man, I assure you, people, what's good, what does the Lord require of you? Jack tells me to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. I guess I didn't come up. It's not there. Okay. You can look it up on your own. I guess it's a. Do justly, act kindly, walk humbly with your God. These are things that please God. Live your lives to please Him. If you're a Christian, a life is now wrapped up in pleasing the one that loves us so deeply, that knows us so intimately. There are two unchanging criteria which your life is all about and who you are is all about. Who knows you and how you were made? Who made you? Are these criteria that mark your life? Go home and read Psalm 139 tonight. Is your homework for tonight. Read over slowly and pray that the Holy Spirit would apply it up here in your heart, your mind, your heart, down here. Lift it out. Let it affect your life. He loves us so deeply. He knows us so wonderfully. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that you know us so deeply and love us so wonderfully. Father, I can't do justice to your word. I pray that we take your word and apply it to all of our life, that we would have courage to do things for you that are great and things for you that are wonderful, things that you have to come through. Help us to dream big dreams of what you want to do through us here on the earth. Help us not to have small dreams of our life, but big dreams of which our life can be used. Deep breath.